that resurrection that took place over 2,000 years ago has been running in me and living in me now for 28, 30 years. See, it's not a one-time deal, the resurrection. It was a one-time deal. And I mean, praise God, that Jesus was on a journey. You know, this whole thing with Jesus was a plan of God. I mean, he was in heaven with Jesus, with God. And he was sent here by the Holy Spirit, birthed through Virgin Mary. He was on a journey. He was the plan of God. He was the plan of God. And I mean, Jesus did suffer an awful death. I mean, they meant it to be that way. There was many ways to kill Jesus. Some of them were stoned to death. But the crucifixion was the most terrible, awful way of punishment. You know, some say that, you know, when he's hanging on that cross, that, you know, after his body begins to get weak and all of that, you can just imagine. I mean, nails drove through your feet, and you got a little pedestal out there, and then your body begins to get weak, and then your body just collapses. And some say that it could have dislocated his shoulders. You know, and then when that happened, because Jesus couldn't stand up straight anymore, then suffocation was one of the things that happened on the cross. Because, you know, he would have to stand up to get his next breath, so to speak. You know, so this thing that he was going through, now I can just imagine why Jesus was at the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, "Father, if there's be any other way, let this cup pass from me, Lord. But Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." But you know, I don't believe it was really the cross that Jesus was really in agony about. I believe that it was that Jesus knew that he was going to have to take on all of our failures, all of our sins, all of our shortcomings, you know, all of the sin that had been stacked up against this world. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe it was the separation that he knew that was going to take place, because God cannot even get in the presence of sin. So I don't believe it was that being nailed to the cross. I really don't believe that's what it was. I believe that Jesus knew that he was going to be separated for the first time in his ever existence from the Father. But Jesus knew that it was only a short time. You know, that he was going to have to endure this for a short time. What that means for me and you today, I'm not going to really talk about too much, maybe the crucifixion or the burial, which all of it was the plan of God. But we can see the heart of the Father. Jesus was prophesied thousands of years in the Old Testament before Jesus ever come down here in the New Testament that we know of. Jesus, you know, he was the plan of God all along, all the way from Genesis, that he was going to send a Savior. See, Jesus belongs to the world. Jesus don't just belong to one certain group of people. Jesus belongs to the whole world. I mean, and he brought redemption to the whole world, not just a select folk. He brought redemption to the whole world. He took on the sin of the whole world. And John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And I don't believe that's talking about just going to heaven. Eternal life is flowing. I mean, healing for me and you today. The doctors don't have all the answers. The resurrection means to me that I have power and authority through his name, by his Spirit, after that I become the sons of God, the Son of God. That this resurrection life was not for a one-time little event back under over 2,000 years ago. It was God's plan for eternity for me and you to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit here on this earth and demonstrate his will through this, like Jesus did. Jesus says the works that I start, y'all are going to finish. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. We finish the works that he... And you know what? This world is getting darker. That's fine. This is not a gloom and doom thing for those that are going to walk in this resurrection power. I mean, this resurrection power is an everyday choice that we're going to walk in faith, believing God, enjoying Him, talking with Him, communing with Him, fasting and praying and coming to the house of the Lord. I don't know how anybody's got any hope today if they're not in the house of God. I see that Christians need the church now, today, more than they ever have, because you've got Facebook preachers, you've got Facebook Christians, you've got those quoting their favorite verses every day. You've got all of that, and it brings forth a lot of confusion. What is God speaking to you? See, I don't get up to see what good scripture somebody felt to put on Facebook to see how my day's going to be. I get up in the morning and I say, God, I thank you, Lord, that this is the day that you have made. And God, you will give me, this is that resurrection power that is working every day in our life. I believe there's tragedies that would happen in our life that we will know about when we get to heaven that God stopped, that we knew nothing about. I believe there was attacks of the enemy because we're in this resurrection power. We're in it through faith. We believe on the Lord Jesus through faith. We believe that I didn't see Jesus die on the cross. I didn't see Jesus get nailed to the cross. I didn't see Him go in a borrowed tomb. I didn't see Him, I didn't see Him resurrected. They had a hard time believing even though He was resurrected. Some of them. They had a hard time. He appeared to them, then disappeared. Good man, they're like, Jesus told them, He said, go tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. He done told them, they didn't understand that He meant, really, I'm going to the cross, guys. Really, I'm going to be buried. And really, I'm going to be raised from the dead. I mean, I believe they thought He was talking figuratively or something, But see, Jesus was talking, and they didn't understand that what redemption is we know of right now. They didn't understand that there could be no more rituals and all of that, that He was going, they were walking with the ultimate sacrifice. They were walking with the one that held their life in His hands. I believe that's why when Jesus was on that cross, the Bible says that there was legions of angels at the command of Jesus that would have delivered Him off of that cross. But they did not take Jesus' life. He laid down His life. That's what me and you do today. We lay down we do our best, like Monty was talking about, we do our best, to lay down our will to the Lord. And Lord, not my will, but yours be done, Lord. And have that heart, God, I want your will. I don't want my will, Lord. And Lord, I'm not going to stay confused about life and about situations because I have your word is truth. You are the way. You are the truth and you are the life. And His Spirit, He is the Word of God. Did you know that? You can't separate the Word of God and Jesus. You can't separate the Word of... Give me that 1 John, that 1 John 1. I'm going to show you through Scripture. See, we need to know these things. See, I've got healing flowing in my body today through the resurrection. And so, therefore, I don't sit around in my living room saying, yeah, I'm getting older and my knees and blah, 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 No, I'm going to stay in agreement with the resurrection power. Okay? I'm not going to look. So those people that needed help yesterday, I heard they wanted, and all of that stuff. And I released my faith right there in that room and told them, I don't know if you know Jesus or not. I don't know if you know, but I do. And we released our faith that God would supply. And I told them, go to church. You need to get in church somewhere. Why? Because they need to hear this kind of messages. Right? See, it's not a drag for me to go to church. It's not a drag to pastor. I told a preacher here not too long ago, he was struggling, with the mess. I said, look, you cannot do this without Jesus. I wasn't getting on to him. or whoever it was, but you cannot serve him without him. You got to have him. You got to go after him. You got to acknowledge him. The Bible says if Scotty will acknowledge him in all of my ways, he will direct my path. Okay? And so directing that path, he will cause me to be in the right place at the right time. I told them people yesterday, I said, God has a way of bringing divine connections to you that can supply you. See, I wasn't talking a myth to make them feel a little bit better about this Jesus. No, we've been thinking about him since Friday. He was on the cross Friday. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane Thursday. That's when he said, "Let this cup pass from me." Friday he was on the cross. Saturday he was in the tomb. And then they went down there early, some say about 9 o'clock in the morning. And they looked in there and he's gone. So the disciples go down there, praise God, and they look in there to find his linen laying there, folded nice and neat. Wonder how that got folded. Could have been tore all up. See, Jesus laid his life down because he's seen all of us in 2024 back under. God's already went into our future. God's already went into it through his son Jesus, went into our future and laid it out and said, now y'all got to follow me, learn my voice, learn to hear me, learn. It's not about necessarily getting it just right and having all of our T's crossed. No, it's about learning to follow him. If he says give a couch, give a couch. If he don't tell you to give nothing, then you just pray for him. But if he tells you to give, then you give. If he tells you to give your last dollar, you give your. I'm not talking about that incident. Whatever God, his mother told the disciples, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever Jesus tells us to do, do it. Whatever, that's why it's important to know the Holy Spirit. That's why it's important, because he's the one that raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, and she's got the John 1. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Talk about the Jews. But as many as received him, he gave them hope. No, that ain't what the Bible says, is it? Somebody say, what he give us? To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You've been born of God. You were born of God. You are born of God. Now, if you're not born of God, your father is the devil. I don't care how the church wants to pat it down. The Bible says, if I'm not for him, I am against him. It's very clear. I'm pushing against the resurrection. I don't want it. I don't want it in my life. I don't want no healing. I don't want no financial miracles. I don't want you involved over here working out these issues. God, I don't want you. We don't think about it this way, but we're pushing him out. We're pushing out the very thing that come and laid his life down. Now, we're not. I know we're not. But if you're in this house and you're not born again, it's not about you being a good person. It's about this eternal salvation that has been gave to you by God through his great sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it comes to give you a good life, a Zoe life, a God life, an eternal life here and there. That's why he has no fear over death anymore. I don't fear the grave. I'm not going to be in the grave. But we can push him away. Most Christians that I know, they don't push him away because they don't really want him. It's out of ignorance. It's out of things not working out and yielding to oppression and yielding to troubles and cares and yielding to things and then letting doubt and unbelief get in there. That's pushing away this resurrection power. That's why the Bible tells me and you, Proverbs 3, God, he said, trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Don't lean to your own. Don't try to figure out life. Let me do it for you. I've already figured it out. Renew your mind to the Word of God and do your very best to embrace the Word of God. Then I'll direct your path. I'll move the things that needs moving. I'll bring the things into your life that'll cause you to enjoy life. See, enjoying life is not having enough money. I find when I was broke, I was after money. Then when I got money, it didn't satisfy me. It's good to have plenty of money. It's good to have all the bills paid and no trials and all of that, and God will bring you to that place. God will bring you to that place of more than enough. God will. But that's not what we pursue. We pursue that Zoe life that He's given us. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:18, it is God, it is He, God, that gives us the power to obtain wealth that He might establish His covenant with us. That's why, 14 jobs is not the blessing. 83 hours a week is not the blessing because you doubled up the hours. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, it says the blessing of the Lord. Did you know Jesus was the blessing manifest? The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Don't add no turmoil and labor and hardship. The blessing flows to those that will believe that God is. He's not going to bless you based on your goodness or your perfectionist. He's going to bless you based on your faith. But you know what? Faith changes the heart of man. When I'm in faith, believing God, I want to do right, Johnny. I mean, I'm like, oh, man, I don't. I don't want to go win contests at the bar anymore. Me and Teresa did, and then we'd stay into it because my dancing. I want to dance to that, play that funky music, white boy. you do that dirty dancing looking stuff, and all that stuff. Well, I got born again, and I didn't have no really desire to go do that anymore, Johnny. I just didn't, I'm like, nah, man, that caused me a lot of trouble. Me and Trey stayed into it for 3 days, and we probably nearly got a divorce because of that and all that. I borrowed the money to get a divorce one time. We got back together right the day before we're supposed to get a divorce. And I done paid the lawyer and went to the lawyer. He ain't getting the money back. Ain't no money back guarantee on this, baby. And I'm like, oh, my God, I had to make payments for a divorce I never got. I paid for a divorce. That's a true story, Jenny. See, what was happening? We were pushing back the resurrection of Jesus out of our life. We wouldn't surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. So I made payments on a divorce I'll never get. Thank God for this resurrected Jesus that rose from the dead. But you know what? It goes even further than that. The power didn't come when He rose. He had to ascend. And then He sent back the same power that is in me and you if you are born again that raised Jesus from the dead. My life changed when I really got a revelation of that. You can read the Word and not have revelation. You got head knowledge. See, head knowledge... You know how, most of the time how revelation comes to me, I don't know if everybody's the same, but something will stick out to me in the Word like that, That's in Romans 8. And I'll go to it and I'll read it and read it and read it. Then I'll go around in the daytime, man, same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Same Spirit. Now I get around people. Did you know the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? Are you serious? Some of them will say, you can't be serious. And I'll have to say, I know it don't make no sense. The Bible says it, so I just believe it. Don't you believe it? If He said it, the Word is God breathed, right? God inspired, God spoken through holy men of God for instruction, correction, direction, comfort, a guidance, whatever, however you want to say it. I mean, I've had the Lord tell me before, go tell Teresa you're sorry, and I'll be like, no, she needs to apologize first. Let her tell you she's sorry. She needs to say it. I'm a man. You know, when I went, first time I tried to tell her I was sorry, what was happening? The Lord was trying to get me where I'm walking in the resurrection power. So I'm like Jesus now. The Bible says, come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke on you. He said, and learn how I am. Learn of me. He said, I'm meek and I'm lowly at heart. He said, then you'll find rest for your weary soul. And so the first time I was going to tell Teresa I'm sorry, I mean, my tongue just wouldn't let it come out. I'm serious. I'm like, I can't say it. I can't say I'm sorry. I had a problem saying I was sorry. I don't care who you are. I messed you up. Hey, it is what it is. Let's get over it, man. But see, God wanted the resurrection power working so I can say, I'm sorry, Monty. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry, Sandy. I've told you no more than anybody in this church, and I'm sorry. It's still no. And I mean it. I mean it. You know, and so I went to her the first time, and I told her, I'm sorry. But you know what? When I did it, I mean, I felt really good on the inside. I was like, hey, man, that really felt good to do that. Praise God. Why? I let that resurrection power in. I let it in there. That's what this day really we celebrated once a year, but we should celebrate this resurrection power 24 all the time. I mean, we live by faith and not by sight. I mean, we live through Him. We're in His name. We're in His power. We're in His authority. He says, but as many as received Him, that's me. I don't know about you. If you ain't saved this morning, praise God, I'm telling you, let this day that we are celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, let it be the day that inward hidden man of on the inside of you becomes one with God, and then you will identify with what you were created to do and to be. You will find out, I found out what life really is all about the last 28 years. I found out that, you know, I had purpose. I couldn't understand. I'm like, if God, Eddie sitting back there, and Glenn, I mean, they're on fire for the Lord back then. They're getting on my nerves with this Jesus stuff. I worked with them, roofing, this, that, been around them. But, you know, they'd tell me, you know, man, the Lord loves you. And I thought, they're sissies. They go to church with their Bible over there, holy love, oh, they can't cuss no more. I mean, you can't cuss, you can't go commit adultery, you can't get sex outside of marriage anymore, man. I mean, y'all are a bunch of sissies. That's the way I thought. I thought I have all the fun. I get stoned every night if I want to, you know, and blah, 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 you know. And all of that, you know. But when I'm down there fixing to commit suicide, you know whose words I heard? Theirs. Their words that they may have never knew would have did any good. I mean, it probably looked like to them, Scotty is a basket hopeless case. Now, they live with us. They know what kind of life Ben Treeks I had. I mean, jacked up the floor up's a small statement. But we thought we was all right. That's what deceived is. But then that day I said, Lord, if you're really real like they say you are, I was talking about them. If you really real, then help me. See, all you got to do is call. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. You can sit right in your pew right now, lost as a goose, knowing you're lost without God. If you ain't got God in your life, you don't have to wonder. You know you have not got God in your life. But you can sit right where you're at, or be right where you're at, or be laying in your bed at night and humble your heart to God and say, God, I don't understand life, but I want this resurrected Jesus in mind. I want to know what life is about. I want to have a good life, Lord, and the only way I can see to do it is I don't know how to get there. He'll come in. He'll begin to direct your life. That's what this resurrection is about. Jesus, he's not on the cross anymore. He's not riding a little donkey into Jerusalem anymore. He's not in a borrowed tomb anymore. Why would they put him in a borrowed tomb? They believed the prophecy. He wasn't going to stay there. They believed the prophecy. And so they put him in a borrowed one. Temporary buried means you got to give it back, right? Well, you didn't see him put John and all them in one. They're in their permanent grave, man. You know? But Jesus, they put him in a borrowed. Why? Because they believed the prophets. They were looking for what we have. Because Jesus told them, he told them disciples, he said, go tarry into the room. You know, we still tarry today. We come to the house of God. Hallelujah. I mean, we're still not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We may be struggling with our mind. Your body may be giving you all kind of fits, but you don't let your body tell you how you're going to believe. You don't let your body tell you that what to do, praise God. I know that sounds like a far-out statement, but you are not what you feel. You are on the inside. And this body, you have power over it. You have dominion over sickness. You have dominion over fear. You know, we're to fear the Lord. That don't mean be scared of God. That means to reverence God, to respect God, to esteem Him important, to esteem the Word important, to esteem church important. I know we do, but we're living in a world that don't. And we must encourage them. The Bible says, provoke them to good works in Hebrews over there. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, but provoke one another to good works. That's a good works, going to church. The world needs church. People without God, they need, once they're born again, when I get them born again on the street, I would tell them, you've got to find a church now. You got to find a church. Find you a church. Don't quit till you find you a church. Why? Because I knew they wouldn't make it without the supplements of the church. They needed the elders that were in there. They needed to sing with us, and they needed to hear the Word of God with us, and they needed to get on up there because God's got a plan, and He'll unfold it. I was one sitting in church. They probably wouldn't give you a gold, a brass nickel for me. That church probably didn't see no, but they had faith, I know. But you couldn't see no jewel in me and Teresa at all. I go in there, you know, man, and I mean, I don't really know that I'm still jacked up, Johnny. But see, I'd got born again, and I start going to church, and I start hearing the sermons. Then the little woman gets up there, and her husband's gone. She's a widow, and she says, oh, Jesus is my lover. And I'm standing over, I'm thinking, this woman's a Fruit Loop. Jesus is your lover? Because see, I come out of the world, lover means intimacy stuff. You know, so I'm standing over there and I'm thinking, this woman's weird. I told Teresa, this is a bunch of holy rollers. Bunch of them holy rollers up here. But here brought me up here to this loose church. They got a band going on. What's wrong with the hymn books? What's wrong with the piano over there? Got to have all this drum banging and all this hair flying spit and all that, you know, man. You know, I'm over there. I've been churched. I just been churched. That's all, you know. And I'm thinking, this woman's weird, love her. And I may have mentioned it, Teresa, but I thought about that all week. This woman, I'm going to stay well away from that woman. If Jesus is her lover, then I'm staying away from her. But you know what? I sit on the other side of the church over here. Praise the Lord. You know, I like the music because I come out of the world. I come out of Rock 99 and, you know, and different things of that nature. And so the really upbeat music, I kind of liked it, but I thought it wasn't for church. It was for, you know, partying and stuff. And so anyways, I thought, oh, well, Teresa likes it. You know, she can't shut up about church. It's good, it's good, it's good. And anyways, I go on, you know, well, I find that she would prophesy things. And I would feel something. I'd be like, oh, man, that felt good what she said there now in here, you know. See, I was getting on, turned on to somebody that spent some time with God, that prayed, that fasted, that you know, her husband died and Jesus become her everything. She began to pursue him for everything, my strength, my healing, my health, my mind, my companion. And so, I mean, you know, she taught like that Jesus was her lover. You know, I mean, you know, you would think living in a house with her, which he was. And you know what? I thought, praise God, maybe this woman's not so weird. And then the old man would get up there, one of the deacons. See, what they were doing is they had given their heart to Jesus and they had lived their life for Jesus, and they really didn't need anything. God had supplied their needs and met all their needs, and they're just here elders in the church, and they've got a relationship with Jesus, and here I am sitting there. They probably wouldn't give you a nickel for me, praise God, but little did they know, probably maybe they did, that there was something that was going to rise out of this young man. That's why we need to direct them to church, because there's something in everybody that God has placed in everybody that he would develop in the amongst the his church. That's why it says blow the trumpet in Zion. Zion represents the church, the gatherings, hallelujah. See, this resurrection is working today. I'm being healed as I go. You are too. You believe God for healing, praise God, then you walk. You walk by faith, and you say, glory to God. Some in the Bible were healed as they went, God. I'm not going by what it looks like, what the results are, God. I'm going by what your word says. Jesus was raised from the dead, ascended, and sent the power down here, praise God. He told them to go to, he said, after the Holy Ghost has come on you, he said, then you will be my witnesses. He said, go wait in Jerusalem. Go tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Then you're going to become. Then after they did in the book of Acts, when they went up there and they waited on the Lord, and then he came, that was Joel prophesied that. In the last days I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and my sons will prophesy, dream dreams, and my daughters will prophesy. You know, on my handmaidens. He said there'll be signs in the heavens and the earth. And they have been. That's what he was talking about in Joel that happened in the book of Acts. That was the prophesying of this coming, that he's going to put his spirit in us. That's why it said we need that no man teach us anything. That don't mean be rebellious against the authorities and ministries that God has raising up. That's not what he's talking about, because those people are not the one that teaches us. The Holy Spirit quickens us to the word as they minister the word of God, or you minister the word of God. See, we don't have the ability to go in and teach anybody really, because we don't know how to get it down there in their inner man. That's why the Apostle Paul, he said, some plant, some water. But who gives the increase? Paul planted, Apollos come by and preached the same thing. He was watering. But he said, but it's God that gives the increase. See, that's why we all looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. See, because I don't know where your life is. You don't know where my life is. But we're serving the one that sees all of us instantly at all times. I mean, he's everywhere. I mean, he knows our thoughts from afar. Thank God he don't judge me by some of them. I get to cast them out. Right? Thank God he don't judge me by those thoughts that comes to my mind. I found out in the Word of God, praise God, and we have been given power. We are the sons of God. I mean, Jesus could have probably had thoughts, I'm going to zap all of y'all. If I just wasn't having to do the will of God, I would show y'all what kind of power I got. I don't know if he had the thoughts or not. He was human. I believe he took on everything that we will ever face and whipped it for us. I believe that he conquered it. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He conquered the powers of darkness. The Bible says that he give us power over all the power of the enemy. And he give us power over this stressful life that we live in. It's a stress-filled life. It's a real busy life. This life is just 24/7 putting pressure on us like I've never seen before. But we have a pressure bearer, and it is this resurrection power, but we got to run to it. The Bible says the righteous run to him and they are saved. See, we can't do this on our own. It's that resurrection power. Just like my grandkids, if I even mention not going to church, I say, nope, that's not what Christians don't do that. Well, Baba, you know, no, I don't play on my emotions. Get in. Travis went to church every time the doors was open when I was on fire for the Lord. Because when you're on fire for the Lord, you know what's going on. You know that it's important. But now when I go to slacking off myself, then, well, we don't want to force our kids to do nothing, you know. We don't want to force them. See, now this resurrection power is not working. You're not letting it work. You're compromising. You're compromising their future. I would not compromise Travis's future. Travis, well, Eric and them don't have to do that. And I said, you ain't going. They're not going where you're going. I don't care what Eric and them does, your cousins, your nephews. I don't care what they're doing. Let them go do what they do. But as for me and my house, we going to go to church. We're going to fast. We are going to pray. We're not going to let cussing in through the TV. Travis ain't going to be filled with, he wasn't filled with cussing in my house. If he cussed, if he got it, it was after he left the house that I know of. Unless he got it on them chat talking stuff. Porn talks to a lot of Christians today. I got it on my phone if I want it. I go in there, you know, some people when they're in the bathroom and read the newspaper, I get on their marketplace or something, you know. And I scroll through there and if there's a half-naked woman, which they are periodically, they're, I don't sit there gazing at it. I just, not going there today. It's not going there today. Now, ain't nobody going to know it but me and Jesus. I'm in the bathroom. Right? The Bible says what I do in secret, he'll reward me openly. But that porn talks. But the resurrection power says this will destroy you. This will give you a bad image of women. This will give you a bad image of men. Y'all guys, y'all young guys, don't watch that porn. You don't need to see them naked hunks on there. You think the girls don't do it? They're probably worse than the boys today. Not y'all. Not in this church. Because you're wiser than the devil. And you have authority over your flesh man. You're in that resurrection power. You make your mind up that you're going to stay pure for the Lord. You're going to do this for the Lord. You're going to stay pure in your heart towards the Lord. And the Lord is going to bless you openly. And y'all guys, don't need to be all doing all that French kissing. Swapping DNA there. I mean, that's your sister. That's your brother. Right? Is it or not? That is your sister. Now, if you think about it like that, we're going to have a way we get married to kiss. Can't keep kissing my sister. See, I mean, because Jesus wants you in this resurrection power so that and you can't do it without him. That's why at a young age you've got to give your heart to the Lord. You need to read your Bible. You need to study. You need to pray. You need to seek the Lord because the enemy has traps for you and he has those young men and women out there that they don't think about God. They don't want nothing to do with God. Now, they might be pretty and attractive and you may be attracted to them, but the Bible says that we can't ain't yoked together with non-believers. We don't need to hook up with them. That don't mean we can't be around them and all of that. But we got to keep ourselves for the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't commit adultery. I have opportunities. I could probably flirt with women and talk with them and, you know, and get a relationship going on there with them. I mean, I know I could, praise God, but I choose not to. I choose to keep myself pure with the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, and I thought somebody said, well, you don't understand. You know, I'm lonely and all that. And I told my pastor, I said, you have been an example for me throughout 3 marriages. I said, I saw you not of your own making go through a busted marriage. I said, I saw you wait on the Lord. I said, I saw you again go through, get married, and them cheat on you again. I said, and I saw you again wait for about 5 years before you hooked up again. She wanted to marry, and I told him one day after they'd got married, I said, did you marry her for that money? Because she come into a bunch of money before they got married. Inheritance, you know, bunch, $200,000 to $300,000. I said, did you marry her for that money? He said, I didn't marry her for that money. I said, I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding. So I told him one day, I said, you know what? I say, they say it can't be done. I said, but I saw you walk with the Lord. I saw you lean on the Lord. He said, yeah, it was just amazing. He said, it was amazing that I didn't have no relations with her till we got married. He said, it shocked me. He said, I was amazed that I was able to make it that long. And I told him, I said, see, you've been an example my whole spiritual life. I said, that's why I've got evidence out before me. Ain't that what Hebrews 11 says to us? He says that we have a great cloud of witnesses that went before us, right? That's just in the Bible. And so I made up my mind, see, and you make your mind up. As for you and your house, you're going to serve the Lord. Your kid, my grandkids ain't going to never tell me, praise God, you don't go to church. And I just lay down and say, well, you know, we don't force nobody. Jesus don't force nobody. They will never get that false doctrine from me. I'll tell my grandkids right off the bat, my kid, my son, he go get warped up. I tell him right quick. I mean, he wanted a tattoo, and he found the marks that Paul had to get his tattoo scripture. I told him, I said, what? I said, them marks that Paul had, he was beat, stoned, drugged through the city, man. Left out there, they drug him out dead. I said, don't use scripture to get your tattoo. He told me later, well, I mean, I knew it, Dad. I mean, I wanted a tattoo. Oh, he had to get Weston. Weston. I told him, well, I mean, it is good to be a Weston. I'm not knocking that. I mean, I'm glad to be a Weston. You know, I mean, hey, God put me where he put me. You know, but all of that pride garbage. Weston. I'm a Weston. And I told him one day, I said, this Weston died. I died. That arrogant, that prideful, that you know, that the pride of life. The Bible says it'll destroy you. Now I'm humbled that God put me in that family. I'm giving God some credit. Now my daddy and them was just in the heat of the moment, I guess, some of us. There were 17 of us. But now my dad may have planned it out because he needed a crew. He was a 40 acre farmer. And we went, and Paul C. Marsh had groves down in Florida. And so, I mean, he built a camper on there. And so they may have been thinking this is the best way to get a crew. They can't quit because they're family. They're my kids. Pile in the truck. We got a house. We're going to eat. And we're going to work in the groves. Now, I wouldn't want to thank my dad. I may ask him if he's in heaven up there. He's been gone about 35 years. Dad, did that happen? Did you do it for the... I'm wondering. Well, I would rather not have a crew than have 17 kids. Wouldn't y'all? I'm done with them. I done raised one, got him out of the house 32 years, and that's enough. Praise God. And got them grandkids whenever I want them, and they're going back home. I'm not raising them either, praise the Lord. But you know what? See, I'm a happy man. I'm a joyful man today. And I don't say that by faith. But Jesus said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That this joy, he said his peace and joy, the world can't give it. I mean, they can't give it. But when we let this resurrection life work, that's why, people have left this church because I want Hunter Easter eggs for the babies. No disrespect to them. But I mean, Easter bunnies does not lay eggs, number one. Easter is a come birth off of a pagan religion filtered down into the church over the years. I studied it. I'm not telling you my theory. I'm telling you it come from the background overseas over yonder. It started with the Eastern pagan worship and brought down here. And the Lord asked me one time, he said, do I have anything to do with Easter eggs? And I said, not that I know of and in the Bible. I'm trying to find scripture for it. I couldn't find no scripture for it. He said, I said that I will have no other God before me. This is before I come here. And so my church didn't partake in it. Duncan, whatever, up there. So I thought, I'm not going to drag this church into it, praise God. And they told me, what have you got for the kids here? I said, Jesus and the Word. I said, if he can't get them, they can't nobody. If the preaching of the gospel won't do it, nothing else will. Hot dogs don't get them in, but this resurrected Jesus. I mean, he paid a big price. And I know I'm getting up in people's business right now, but hey, hallelujah. We want this resurrection flowing in our families so we're not jacked up from the floor up, so that our descendants are not, praise God. I told Bradley one time I had something, and I'll close with this. I had something the Lord had showed me about the church up there, and this was 10, 15 years before let somebody else take it over. The Lord, I could see how that in the Bible, they hadn't passed it on to the next generation, and everything was in ruin because those leaders didn't. And I seen the word faith restoration, so I called my pastor up. And I told him, I said, I had this vision. I said, I really believe it was from the Lord. I read this story in the Bible, and I told him, I said, he said, I hadn't done that. I hadn't raised them up like I need to. You know, he said, I'm going to work on that. I'm really going to work on that. Well, see, I'm working. If the Lord calls me out of here, somebody in here is able. Get up, preach. Get up, Johnny, preach. Start it off. Do it. All of that. And I can walk out of here and y'all just go right on with this in this resurrection if I do it right. If I do it right, then we're all growing in the Lord. And we're coming up in our lives and we're serving the Lord. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've not accepted him, I'm telling you, you are on dangerous ground. You're wide open for the enemy. You're right open for demonic spirits and all of that. But if you surrender to Jesus today, you come in under the Lordship, under the anointing of the Lordship anointing. Praise God. In all of those things, the enemy can't touch you anymore. He can't get to you only by your choice then, through your emotions and all that. If you're here today and you say, I'm lost without God, and I want to accept that sacrifice that Jesus did for me, pray for me when you pray. Slip your hand up back.